blessed be the name of the Lord, the Most High. A strong time, the righteous run into, they are saved. Strong tower.
Thank you, Lord.
The righteous run into, and they are saved.
Oh, yes, now.
So blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. The
Hallelujah. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Well, it's good to be in the house of God again this morning, isn't it? How many of you enjoyed service here last night? Brother Wes, you're about the most unreasonable man I ever met. Amen. Hey, I really enjoyed Brother Wes's message last night, didn't you? Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, God is so good to us. Just lets us keep on coming back and keep on worshiping Him in spirit and in truth. We're quite a blessed group of people. We are quite a blessed group of people. If you ever want to just have a pity party for yourself, just start thinking about the blessings of God, where He's brought you from, what He's done for you, what He's revealed to your heart. What you got in your heart is more precious than 10 million worlds. The revelation of the Word of God for this hour, how could you put a price on it? A lot of people selling it out for a little bit of popularity, a little bit of this, and a little bit of that. I'll take whatever they want to give up, won't you? I'll take whatever they want to lose. I'll take it. I love it, don't you? Give the Lord another hand clap of praise this morning. Well, God is good, church. Amen. Why don't you take a second, turn around, shake somebody's hand, greet them in the name of the Lord, tell them you're glad to see them in church on Sunday morning. Play some more of that, brethren, if you will.
A strong tower, the righteous run into, they are saved.
Oh, yes.
The name of the Lord is a strong tower, the righteous run into Him, and we are saved.
Blessed be the name of the Lord, the Most High.
The Most High God, Jesus.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
He is holy.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord, the Most High.
Amen. God bless you. We'll let you be seated for just a few minutes while we look at our prayer request this morning. We're going to have a baptizing today. Praise the Lord for that. A young man going to get in this pool back here and take on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And well, we're glad for that, aren't we? Amen. Sister Sherry Hayden says to please pray for Rachel Johnson, a real Christian friend of ours who is having to have surgery again next week. She's having great pain and sickness. Pray that the Lord will guide the doctor's hand. So let's remember that prayer request this morning. The brother Yohanan from Canada. I have pain and swelling in part of my leg. The doctor prescribed medications for it, but the medicines don't seem to be working. I believe Isaiah 53:5, which says, with his stripes we were healed. On that, I need your prayers. So let's pray that the Lord will touch our brother in Canada today and give him healing in his body. Brother Keith Strader is having surgery on his hand on Tuesday. Ask the church to remember him in prayer. So let's remember that need. Remember Sister Phillips for several needs in her body. Let's pray for her today. Brother Carter Lawson has an unspoken prayer request the Lord knows all about. I want to pray for Keith Turner. That's Brother Roby Turner's son. He's having a lot of issues with his heart. He's in the intensive care unit this morning. Needs our prayer. So let's remember that need today as we pray. All the unspoken prayer requests, you have something you'd like for this group to pray about. You believe God's able to meet our needs today? Amen. Certainly we do. And all the folks that's on the highways traveling, Brother Donnie and those folks in Ohio, the meetings there, let's pray that the Lord would bless them, give them traveling mercies as they come back home. We just got a lot to thank you for this morning. A lot to ask him for, but we've got a lot to thank you for. Let's stand. Brother Philip Elliott, will you come this morning? Lead us to the Lord in prayer on behalf of these prayer requests. Let's invite the presence of our Lord into this service today. Amen. Appreciate Brother Philip. God bless you, buddy. Appreciate you, buddy.
Bow our heads, please. Heavenly Father, Lord, when I think about everything going on in this world today, the problems in the Middle East and our conflicts with other nations, Lord, with leaders, and Lord, the things going on in our own backyard, the problems in Missouri, all these other problems, Lord God, they reach up and they take over so much attention. But Lord, you hush all of that when we speak your name and you listen to us talk, Lord God. I'm so grateful for that, Lord, that no matter what's going on in the world, you hush when we say your name. Lord, we thank you for this day, Lord, another day to be in church, another day to be here amongst your people in fellowship and a fellowship with you, Lord God. And Lord, we lift up these prayer requests to you, Lord God. I don't remember all of them, Lord. But Lord, we know that you'll meet every need, no matter what it might be, Lord God. Your will be done. And we're grateful for that, Father God. I pray you come down to the service and be amongst us today, Lord, and walk the aisles with us. And let us fellowship with you once again, Lord God. And I pray, Lord God, you bless our minister, Lord God. And may he bless us, Lord, through you, with you, Lord, at his side. Granted, I pray, Lord God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
God bless you. Ushers, if you want to come at this time, we'll receive the morning tithe and offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor here today, we want to take this opportunity to welcome you. Glad to have you here. All of those that are streaming, I pray this service will be a great blessing to those folks as well. Somebody say praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Somebody say praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Give him one more hand clap of praise if you love him this morning. When the reason that I'm standing stands in front of me, let's sing it this morning.
For the gospel, when it seemed I stood alone, through the heartaches and frustrations, kept my focus on the throne. So many times I have recalled the Savior's words so true.
Oh, that's right.
If you won't be ashamed of me, I won't be of you. So stand until I see,
hallelujah,
the face of the one who gave everything for me.
Oh, when the reason that I'm standing stands in front of me, every battle that I fought, it'll fade from memory.
Mighty throne and fall down on my knees.
sing it to him now, church.
The road has not been easy, and at times I've lost my way. So often I stumble, searching for the light of day. Circumstances all around.
Oh, sing it, Brother Harry.
I thought I'd surely fall when the whispering of doubt and fear told me
you're gonna lose it all.
But he came with his amazing,
yes, he has,
grace. And someday soon I'll have the chance
to thank him face to face.
Child of God that day will look upon his face, and the heroes and the martyrs who died on the pagan soil will all stand together. And at times I've lost my way. So often I've stumbled, searching for a light of day. Circumstances all around, I thought I'd surely fall. When the doubt and fear told me you'd lose it all. But he kept me with his amazing grace. Someday soon I'll have the chance to thank him face to face.
When the reason that I'm standing
stands in front of me, every battle that I fought will fade from memory. I'll bow before his mighty throne and fall down on my.
Praise the Lord. Somebody say hallelujah. Amen. Let's sing a little song this morning. You know, after we heard Wednesday night here, Brother Andrew Glover just preaching on revival, Brother West last night challenging us to be unreasonable, we just ought to feel like running our last mile home. It's untelling what Brother Darrell Ward's going to have for us this morning, but I know it's going to be good. I know if we'll pull on the gift of God, it's going to be good this morning. Let's sing a little chorus this morning. Part of the verses, ever how many Brother Harry feels like leading us in. Running my last mile home. You know, Satan looks at you, and we look at each other sometimes, and you know, really, when you get right down to it, there ain't none of us much to look at.
I don't mean that from a physical standpoint. I mean, as far as being, we don't consider ourselves mighty warriors of the cross like our predecessors were. We didn't battle lines. We didn't have to see none of our loved ones give their life. But I'm going to tell you something. You are some, if not the greatest, heroes of faith that has ever walked in shoe leather. And I'm going to tell you why. Nobody has ever had to live in Satan's Eden the way we're having to live in it today and still say that Jesus Christ is real in our life. We still have victory in Jesus Christ. We still embrace the truth. We still embrace everything that God means to us. You are great heroes of faith this morning. God bless you, heroes. God bless you. When I come to the end of my journey, sing it, buddy.
When I come to the end of my journey, I live my lifetime for this day alone. Oh, it's all the light and I'm getting a little bit anxious.
Well,
I started out walking, but I'm running the last mile home.
You're running this morning.
Yes, I started out walking, but I'm running the last mile. On my journey, but never once has my God led me wrong. The deserts and the valleys lie behind me. The road ahead straight and I'm running the last mile home. Yes, I started out walking, but I'm running the last mile home. Ring the bell, blow the horn, shout. Faces, till I don't feel at home here anymore.
Hallelujah.
But I just heard the sound of old familiar voices.
Hallelujah.
They're singing a new song I never heard before. Yes, they're singing a new song I never heard before.
Ring the bell. Say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. God bless you. I'm going to let you be seated this morning. I don't have a special this morning, but we could always look to our source over here. And I had a song on my mind I actually wanted you to sing. I didn't know if you was going to be here or not, but I actually wanted you to sing it. Redeemed. I've been redeemed. We have been redeemed. You know, when they have, I guess they call that the 880, where they have four different runners. They all start out with a baton, whatever it's called. And the first runner, he'll run his leg, and he'll hand it off to the next runner. But it's that last runner. Everything falls on him. Everything falls on him.
I don't know.
The three before him, if they've done their job right, they've set him up to run a real good leg of his race. But if they somehow have stumbled or have fallen or dropped the baton and he has to retrieve it, he's got to try a lot harder. You and I in this age, we're the last runners. We've been handed this glorious gospel baton. I don't want to drop it. I want to finish it well, don't you? And by His grace and by His redemption and by His power and might, we have been set up to finish a glorious last lap of this race. Because of them that's run before us, they handled it well. They run their race. They handled it well. Now it's up to me and you. How many of you want to do well on this last leg of the race? Give Him one more hand clap of praise if you love Him this morning. Thank you, buddy.
Y'all help me sing it.
Seemed like all I could see was the struggle. Haunted by a ghost that lived in my past.
I want you to sing it, buddy.
Bound shackles of all my failure, wondering how long is this gonna last. Then you look at this prisoner and say to me, son, stop fighting a fight that's already been won. I am redeemed. You set me free. So I'll shake off these heavy chains. Why? I'm not who I used to be. I am redeemed. I'm redeemed. All my life I have been called unworthy. Of my shame and regret. But when I hear you whisper, child, lift up your head. I remember, oh God, you're not done with me yet. 'Cause I am redeemed. You set me free.
Praise the Lord. Amen. I'll just use this. Praise the Lord. Well, it's good to have a voice. Amen.
Amen.
It's good to be a Christian.
Amen.
It's good to know that God's not dead.
Amen.
He's alive and well,
Amen.
Living in the hearts of His people,
Amen.
Doing what He said He would do in this hour.
Amen.
Amen. What a privilege it is to be a part of it.
You
say, oh, Brother Darrell, it's such a bad time and so many bad things are happening, but we serve a big God, friends. He's bigger than all of our problems. He's bigger than all of our trials. He's bigger than all of our troubles. He's bigger than cancer. He's bigger than sugar diabetes. He's bigger than the grave. Amen. Amen. He's wonderful this morning. We can put our trust in Him. We can put our confidence in Him. We can be an unreasonable person. We can be that today. Amen. God made us different. Amen. We didn't make ourselves different. God made us different. The Word made us different. I'm glad I don't look like them, act like them, talk like them, live like them, because I'm not like them. Amen. I'm a different person from a different nation. I speak a different language. Hallelujah. I'm just a pilgrim. I'm just a stranger here. Amen. And when I leave here, I will not leave defeated. Amen. Do you love Him this morning? Praise God. If you have your Bibles, turn with us to the book of Matthew. We want to read from Matthew chapter 14, verse 22. Thank you, buddy. Let's see if you can take this off of you. Amen. Praise the Lord. I never did like him things anyway. We want to read from Matthew chapter 14, verse 22. We greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus. We count it such an honor to be able to be with you and to have a service with you here this morning. It seems like it's been forever since we've been able to preach here, but we're here today and we're glad, and we're glad you're here. And most of all, we're glad He's here. Amen. And so whatever your need would be today, just look to Him and believe that God can do something about it. Amen. And we trust before the service is over that the Word will just lift your faith up, that you can receive what you have need of and go out the door shouting. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we want to read now from Matthew chapter 14, verse 22. And sure enjoyed Brother West last night. We had a little cabin down at Pigeon Forge left Friday, but we sat and watched the service last night and then got up early this morning and drove up here. And then we're going to drive back down after service. So we desire your prayer. And then Brother Andrew Wednesday night. And oh my, I don't know. These brothers preaching, you know, I thought, well, maybe I could just teach Sunday school or something. You know, I don't know. Maybe I can go down with the young class or something. But we don't want to do what we can for the Lord, and we trust it to be a blessing to you. May God richly bless you. Be our prayer. Matthew chapter 14 now, verse 22. And the Bible says this. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into his ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone.
But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it's a spirit. And they cried out in fear. Now, ain't that something? The very thing they were afraid of was the thing that they needed. So many people are scared to death for the Holy Spirit to move in the service. But friends, that's what we need. We need the Holy Spirit to move among us. Thank God for books. Thank God for tapes. Thank God for all these things, friends. But what we need is the life that sent the message to move among us to confirm the word. Amen. Amen. That's what we need is the Holy Spirit moving among us. Amen. They were afraid of it. Amen. Now, verse 27. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. Amen. Let's bow our heads. I want to speak to you this morning just on a very simple evangelistic message on the thought of a stronger wind than this. A stronger wind than this. The Lord gave me this message back in October when I was over in North Carolina. And so we trusted it would be a blessing to you this morning. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're just so glad that we can call you Lord, call you Father, Lord, knowing, dear God, that your word is true. Knowing, Father, that the promises that you've made, no matter who would walk away from them or would deny them or try to twist them, Lord, or try to bury them under creeds and dogmas, they forever remain true, Lord. And Father, we're so glad today that we can hang our soul, Lord, upon thy word. For you said heavens and earth will pass away, but my word shall never fail. And Lord, we pray today, may your spirit come down among us, Lord, and encourage our hearts today, dear God. How we thank you, Lord, for the word that we've heard this week, God. Lord, may you continue, Lord, just to revive us, Lord, just to pump it into our souls, Lord, that it may come forth into our lives and manifest the true reality of the living God. For Lord, we realize in this hour the only way that you'll ever be the same is not a sign, Lord, that's out on the front, Father, not a sign that's wrote on the wall, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, forever, not just a message book that we would pack in our Bible, but the only way that would be a reality is for the life that you live to be living in us and manifesting in this day that we are living in, making you the same yesterday, today, and forever, fulfilling the promise of your word, where you said, verily, verily, I say unto you, the works I do shall you do also, and greater works than these shall you do, because I go to my Father, and I send it back the Holy Spirit to you. And God, what a privilege it is, God, to be recipients of that great blessing in this hour. Bless your children, Lord. There's a virus going around, dear God, an old cold, Lord, sinus infection, sore throats, and Father, I pray in the name of Jesus, may your spirit move for those that are afflicted with it today, those that are feeling down, maybe not be able to come to the house of God because they're sick, Lord. May you just touch their body today, Lord. Those streaming on the service, wherever they would be, Lord, may the Spirit of the living God, the same anointing that raised Christ from the grave, may that same anointing move upon them, Lord, and the reports come back this week. I was sick, but now I'm well. I was weak, but now I'm strong because my God visited me. Grant it, Lord. Receive honor and glory to yourself, we pray. Bless all those traveling today. Bless your little brother around the world. We give it into your hands now for your glory. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. And the bride says, amen. Amen. God bless you, saints. You may be seated. Now, I want to just bounce off this quote here, if you don't mind, to look at it here just for a second and pull some things out of it for what we want to look at this morning for the Lord to help us. Now, Brother Branham asked this question. He says, what is the Holy Spirit? And then the prophet answers the question. What is the Holy Spirit? It is your assurance. It is your protection. It is your witness. What is the Holy Spirit? It is your assurance. And what an honor it is this morning. What a comfort it is this morning to know that the Holy Spirit is our assurance. You know, the prophet of God told a story of a man one time come to him and wanted to sell him some insurance. And he said, Billy, I want to talk to you about some insurance. He said, oh, I've got assurance. He said, his wife kind of looked at him a little bit and said, why, Bill? And he said, so she didn't catch it either. I didn't say insurance. I said, I've got assurance. He said, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. I'm an heir of salvation, purchased of God, born of his spirit, washed in His blood. Anybody here like that today? Is there anybody here got that assurance today? And Brother Ben said that insurance man, you know, kind of chuckled a little bit. Said, Billy said, I respect that, you know. He said, but I want to tell you something. Billy said, that won't put you up here in the ground. He said, it may not put me in the ground, but it'll sure get me out of it. I'm not worried about getting in it. We're all going to get in it soon enough if the Lord tarries. I'm not interested about getting in it, Brother West. But I've got an assurance this morning that if I go by the way of the grave, He will get me out. Amen. Blessed. What is the Holy Ghost? It is your assurance. How many's got it this morning? It is your assurance. It is your witness. What is the Holy Spirit? It is your witness. You see, I could say anything about myself. Just like you. I could say I'm anything. I could tell you I'm a great singer. Of course, you know that's not true, but I could tell you that. I could say anything, but it's not so much what I say, as much as it is what He says about me. The Bible says in Romans 8:16, the Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. It's not what I can say so much about myself, but what He says about me. And when He speaks, all the mouths of the critics are shut up. Amen. It's our assurance. It's our witness. It's our seal. It's your sign. It's your seal. It's your sign that I'm heaven bound. Who's got the Holy Ghost this morning? Then I want you to know, according to this quote, you are heaven bound. That's not my word. That's the word of the prophet. It's your seal. It's your sign. I am heaven bound. Then does it matter what we face in life? Does it matter what we go through in life? We are heaven bound. Oh God. Why? Because He sealed me. I didn't seal myself. You didn't seal yourself. He sealed me. He gave it to me. He gave it to me. He sealed me into His kingdom. I am glory bound. Where you reckon you're going? Glory. Where you reckon you're going? Heaven. How do you know? I've got a sign. I've got a seal. I've got an assurance. I've got a witness. Let the devil say what he wants to say. Hello? I don't care what the devil says. You think anything the devil's going to say is going to change this? Well, y'all pray for me. The devil's been talking to me all week. Why do you listen? Why? First of all, he can't tell you the truth. Are you really going to listen to somebody that walked into the garden and crawled out? Let the winds blow. Let Satan do what he wants to do. There is nothing he can do that can unseal me. Hallelujah. There is nothing he can do that will unseal me. Let him do what he wants to do. God's done sealed me until the day of my redemption. I've been redeemed. How many's got this? Then what are you worried about? Well, Brother Darrell, I'm so nervous. Why? You've got the sign. You've got the seal. You've got the assurance. You've got the witness. The brother said, when you get the Holy Ghost, it takes that old temper out of you. Whew, that's a rough one right there. It puts a dress on you and makes you act like a lady. I mean, if you are a lady. You know, we're living in the hour. You have to clarify that, you know. The Holy Ghost. The tickled myself. The Holy Ghost will make a man act like a man. And it'll make a lady act like a lady. Hello. I said it'll make a man act like a man. Amen. It'll make you quit smoking. It'll make you quit drinking. It'll make you quit lying. It'll make you quit stealing. But amens are getting fewer. Watch the parking lot, deacons. It'll make you quit stealing and everything. Brother, when you've got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, it separates you. It delivers you from the things of the world. It makes you love God. It makes you go to church. My, get fewer amens on that one than anything. Huh? If you got the Holy Ghost, you go to church. Amen. The Bible said Jesus went into the temple on the seventh day as it was his custom. Jesus goes to church. And if you've got Jesus in your heart, you will go to church too. Amen. Well, I stay home and stream. He didn't say that. Amen. 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 It makes you go to church. Thank you, sis. God bless you. It makes you worship him. It makes you tell your neighbor about it. It makes you live above sin. And the church said amen. That's what the Holy Ghost is. That's what the Holy Ghost does. It is our assurance. It is our seal. I don't care what the devil tries to do. I don't care what the devil says. I am sealed. My God, I'll make the Pope shout. Now, in our scripture reading this morning, we find that the disciples was in the middle of the sea. And the prophet began to say, the prophet said, they began to have a testimony service. Now, what does that tell me? It tells me that any place you are is a good place to talk about Jesus. Whether you're in Walmart, whether you're in a parking lot, whether you're in the middle of the sea, any place you are is a good place to talk about Jesus. Because the prophet said, usually you'll find when we begin to testify about the good things of Jesus, he always comes and blesses it. Amen. When you're testifying, that's usually when the Lord comes down. You see, we spend so much time talking about our problems, talking about our fear, talking about our troubles. It's true, friends. Huh? I've been in places and called a prayer line. Anybody sick want prayer? Be glad to pray for you. Nobody come to the altar. And then you get out in the parking lot and you hear, God, my back's killing me. The doctor said it's the worst case. Good. That's me. It's just a greater miracle. Huh? Amen. We spend all of our time, friends. Oh, if we could just record ourselves for one 24-hour period and play it back. I wonder how many negative things we would say. I wonder how much our problems and our worries and our fear we would confess. But if we took that time and spent it talking about Jesus. Remember, it was the two on the road to Emmaus. As they were talking about Jesus, that's when he appeared to them. They were talking about him. And he appeared. The prophet said, if we would quit talking about our neighbor. Quit talking about the hypocrites in the church. Well, I ain't going to go up there. Them people. Well, why don't you come and help make us better? If you can't come because you're so much better than me, then please come and help me to be more like you. Come on, friends. It's easy to sit and criticize. It's easy to sit and find fault. Talking about the hypocrites in church. Talking, if we could just talk more about Jesus, we'd have more appearing of Jesus. We talk about the faults of the preacher. Well, he preaches too long. He's too loud. He sweats too much. I'm sorry. It's hot. I can't help it. We talk about the faults of the preacher. But if we talk about something else, and just talk about Jesus, then there would be more things happen in our church. Well, Sam, you reckon that's true? If we spent more time talking about Jesus, there'd be more appearing of Jesus in our services. Do you think that could really be true if we just quit talking about our faults and our failures and our neighbors and everybody else and stay off Facebook? And if we just spent more time talking about Jesus, you say, do you reckon that would work? Well, there's only one way to find out. Let's just try it. Who's with me? Well, half the church. That's good. Amen. When the disciples was talking about Jesus on the road to Emmaus, they said that's when he stepped out. He stepped right out of the bushes and began walking with him. When they were thinking about him and meditating about him. Well, let me ask you something. What would make your blood pressure lower? Thinking about your illness or thinking about your healer? Huh? Amen. Now these disciples, they were out there in the middle of that sea. And they began to talk about Jesus. And when they began to talk about Jesus, the more they talked about God, the more the devil got mad. Huh? You know, my girls walk around the house all the time. They got iPads, iPhones, I this, I that. They've got everything. You know what they say? I'm bored. There's nothing to do. When I grew up, Brother Larry, we had one bicycle between all four of us. I'm bored. I've got nothing. That's go pet the dog. Go ride the bike. Go pet the horse. Go swimming. That's the way people come to church. I'm so bored. Well, here's something we can all do. Well, brother, I'd shout, but I got arthritis. I'd raise my hand, but I got shoulder pain. Well, that may be true, friends. But here's something we all can do. Amen. We all can make the devil mad. Yeah. Brother Pat, from 2 to 80, we can make the devil mad. We ought to put in our heart when we get up this morning. I'm going to get up today. I'm going to make the devil so mad. We ought to make us t-shirts. I was born to make the devil mad. think of it, Brother Chuck, that we can make the devil so mad, that when we wake up in the morning, he said, oh my God, they're awake. When they begin to talk about Jesus, the devil got mad. Then that makes me wonder, when we talk about our fear and our problems and our weakness and our sickness and the problems of the church and the problems of the man, I wonder, does the devil get mad or does he get happy? So you're telling me you'd rather talk about your problems and make the devil happy than talk about Jesus and make the devil mad. If I'm going to do one thing, Brother Keith, let me live to make the devil mad. I may not be a great preacher. I may not be a great believer. But there's one thing I can do. I can make the devil mad. I can make the devil so mad, he'll have a nervous breakdown. Get him so mad that he blows the fuse. Oh, make him, the demon said, what's wrong with you today, devil? Jerry Glenn woke up. But Ben said, the devil got mad. I think that's what we need to do. You know, if we can't do great, well, you know, they said we can't go send someone. Well, you can't go to the mission field. I can't go to the mission field, Brother Dow. I can't preach, Brother Dow. I can't testify, Brother Dow. Here's one thing you can do. Make the devil mad. And enjoy it. You know how to make the devil mad? Tell him the truth. I find most people get mad at you when you tell them the truth. Well, glory. To make the devil mad. Think of it, friends. That we, you know, all the time, it's like we're on the defense. You know, all the time trying to block punches from the devil. Trying to get over in the corner. Block punches. Like an old doctor friend of mine one time, he's gone to glory now. Old Doc Bark, he's an orthopedic surgeon. He told me that he's over at the VA one time. They called him in for emergency, somebody being gunshot. And he goes into the ER and the man's laying on the stretcher. And he goes up to the man. And old Doc Bark said, where was he shot, son? And the old fella said, I was behind the piano, Doc. He said, no, I mean on your body. And that's the way we try to do. We try to hide behind the piano so the devil can't find us. Let me tell you something, friend. We don't need to hide from the devil. You can go right out there and make the devil mad. We can meet him face to face. We don't have to hide from, well, the devil might get mad. I hope the devil does get mad. I hope he gets so mad he has to leave church. Prophet said the devil got mad. And the wind began to blow. And the waves began to come up on the boat. Satan's servant had the floor. And there's always trouble when Satan's servant gets the floor. The waves come in angrily and harder and harder. And the winds blew. And no doubt, Satan himself gleaming with his lizard eyes. Saying, I'll scare them stiff. And then drown them. You see Satan's tactic? What's the biggest thing he uses? Scare, fear. You watch someone that's demon possessed when it's manifested on them. If it's a woman, they'll talk like a man or they'll growl like a dog. You know why? Because that demon is scared. Come on, friends. That's what he uses. Notice what he said, Brother Larry. I'll scare them stiff. Hard to move when you're stiff. I'll scare them stiff. And then I'll drown them. But Bram said, Satan follows you along like a great big old kingly priest. A priestly Goliath trying to scare the liver out of you. What does the devil use on all of us? Fear. A fear of missing the rapture. A fear of getting cancer. A fear that your husband's going to leave you. Or your wife's going to leave you. Or something's going to happen to one of your children. Come on, somebody. You know I'm telling the truth. But we are a covenant people. We are a covenant people with God. There is nothing happen to us unless God allows it to happen. I like what Brother West prayed the other night in his prayer about cancer. Said if we get it, then it must be, you know, God allowing it just to take us home. So no matter how you look at cancer, it's how you look at it, friends. But you see, God creates win-win situations for His people. We are not losers. We are winners. I was up in D.C. about July the 4th preaching a meeting. A black brother up there sung a song. Said, we're not losers. We are winners. He's from the Caribbean, had that real heavy accent. He said, we are not losers. We are winners. Oh, my girl sang it all the way home. We're not losers. We are winners. We are God's covenant people. You know, so many people think because they're so blessed by God that they have favor with God. But I thought it was so good the other night when Brother Donnie was preaching and he's talking about the Arabs and what small portion of land Israel had. And they had all these millions of acres, had all these riches, had all this oil. And they would look and they would say, we are favored with God over Israel because we have all this. But you see, God don't care to bless them because they're not in the covenant. I'd rather have the covenant than the blessing. I'd rather have the covenant than the blessing. So many people think God loves them because they're so blessed. But you're blessed of God if you are in the covenant. We are God's covenant people. God tore Christ apart at Calvary, making the covenant, swearing by himself, took that body up into heaven, which will return someday. But the Spirit he gave back to lead the church. And the same life that was in Christ Jesus is in the church today. By the Holy Ghost, doing and acting and performing the same things he did when he was here on earth. You've received it. You've got the covenant. It's written to you, swore by God. You cannot fail. Brother Larry, I didn't say that. I didn't say that. Brother Tim, I didn't say that. I didn't say you couldn't fail. God said you couldn't fail. You know the wonderful thing about God is he don't lie. God don't lie. You can't fail. You can't fail. Somebody say, I can't fail. Now say it like you believe it. Now, you know what you've done when you've done that? The prophet said, that makes the devil mad. It makes the devil mad when we realize who we are. Then you know what we need to be doing? We need to be talking about who we are. Well, Brother Darrell, I'm trying to be humble. Well, humbly talk about it. There's nothing wrong with saying I'm Darrell Ward because that's who I am. There's nothing wrong with saying we are God's covenant people. We have the Holy Ghost. We are the bride of Jesus Christ. That's what the Word says we are. And that makes the devil mad. You know what makes him mad? It's when you tell him who you are. You know what makes him mad? When you tell him who he is. He got mad. And the winds begin to blow. And the waves begin to come up high on the boat. He began to blow his poison breath. And the winds got so contrary. The boat was all waterlogged. Half full of water. And the oars begin to break. About that time the anchor fell off. Boat full of water, no anchor, no oars. Well, ain't none of us here like that this morning, so we're doing pretty good. Huh? The boat was all waterlogged, full of water. The oars were breaking. Great white caps, as they rode, just swept over the little boat from one way to the other. All hope was gone. All hope was gone. They was pressed. They was pressed from one wave to another. God, friends, don't you see the hour we're living in? It is a pressing, trying hour. Just like this. Satan began to blow his poison breath upon the sea, and it turned the sea into a spasm. It was the breath of Satan. I will sink them. And the sea was so upset by the poison of his breath until the little boat began to churn backwards and forth. It looked like all hope was gone. They were ready to give up and go to their destination. But Christ had not left them. Though they had left him. God, think of it, friends. Think of it. Christ had not left him, though they had left him. But Brother said, it prays to take you, to take him with you. Everywhere. So if you young boys can't go to a ball game, take Jesus with you and wear your shorts, I advise you not to wear them. Well, that's a little weak, but that's all right. If you can't take Jesus to some of them websites you visit, it'd probably be good not to visit them. Preach, brother, down. Thank you, believer. Well, I get one service a year here. I might as well make it good. But the good part of it is, oh, I just love this quote. The good part of it is, even if we don't, he still watches us. The prophet said he climbed to the highest hill he could find, where he could see all the way across that little sea. For he wanted to keep his eyes on them. Whether if any trouble come up, that he might be a present help in the time of trouble. For that's what the word said he would do. Think of it, Brother West. He climbed the highest hill he could find so he could see all the way across that sea, because the word said he's an ever-present help in the time of trouble. And he done that because the word said that's what Jesus does. He went up there and sat down and kept his eye on them because the word said he's an ever-present help in the time of trouble. And even though they left without him, he was still watching them. And regardless of what we do, he keeps his promise. Regardless of what we do, he keeps his promise. He was watching them. He seen them toiling at the oars. He seen the wind tossing them to and fro. But his eyes was on them. And let me say this morning, his eyes is on you. He sees your fear. He sees your storms. He sees the wind. He sees your sickness. He's not at all blind to our need. His eye is watching. About that time, Satan looked out over the rim and he saw that little boat out on the sea without Jesus. He thought, here's my opportunity. And so is it tonight with every individual, with every church, with every member of the church. Satan can see you alone without Jesus. It's his opportunity to smite you. And I know some of us think that we're so strong and we're so smart. We don't need nobody. We can do it all by ourselves. I've got a little video of Allison when she's a little girl. Her fishing pole, she's out fishing. My goodness, I don't know what that girl done to that fishing pole. She had it up one side and down the other. I said, here, Allie, let Daddy help you. She said, I can do it myself. That's the way a lot of us are. Jesus says our lives all tangled up around our head, got a foot tangled up in it. And what Jesus said, no, I can do it myself. I don't need no help. Let me tell you, God made us that we would be needing help. God made us that we need each other. You cannot make it alone, friends. It is a body move, and we need each other. Well, I can stay home. I don't need to go up there. No, that's not true. We need each other. Amen. There is safety in numbers. Amen. Do you know, I read an article about little fish. Little fish in the sea. They swim in schools. You know why? I read about it one time. I thought, my goodness, they do that, Brother West, so they'll look bigger. So these bigger fish won't tackle them because they look bigger than the fish. But in reality, they're just a bunch of little individuals. Oh, hallelujah. We've each got a lick of fire. But when I'm just by myself, it's just a lick of fire. But when we get together, it begins to roar. It begins to churn. Why? There is safety in numbers. Satan said, I'll rid the whole bunch. I'll get rid of the whole bunch. I'll get on Facebook and post a bunch of stuff. I'll get rid of them. Ain't gonna happen. I'll get rid of the whole bunch. I've got them right where I want them. I'll drown the whole bunch of them. So we begin to breathe out, the prophet said, his poison breath from his nostrils, and the great powerful wind of his poison, of his breath, hit the sea, and the sea had a nervous prostration. And sin from Satan will make anything have a nervous prostration. That's the reason we are having so many breakdowns. You know, someone told me the other day they had an appointment with their psychiatrist, but they had to cancel it because the psychiatrist had an appointment with their psychiatrist. You know what makes that so funny? It's a true story. People are in a nervous state. Come on, friends. They'll run 90 miles an hour through a 30-mile speed limit. They'll run you off the road, go 50 foot, put on the signal light, and turn off. Yeah, I've seen some of y'all drive. Hello? You got some school zone one some afternoon. You'll just about get killed trying to turn off. They come through there like bullets. Where's everybody going? Remember when those spirits entered the swine? When Jesus needed to let the spirits go into, what did it do? It drove them off the cliff. They ran off the cliff. Don't you see, friends? Why it's such a nervous age people running to? Nobody's satisfied with nothing. Because the sin of this age is so reached up, it has so swelled up to the whole nation, the whole world. Is in a nervous, neurotic state. They don't know what to do. The whole world is nervous and upset. They don't know where they're standing. They go from one church to the next church to the next church. Every little thing upsets them, they're gone. Huh? Running here and there, running to and fro. What you running from? What you running from? Huh? It's because Satan has begun to push out his poison breath. He's begun to blow his winds of strife, breaking up churches, separating brotherhoods, making people think they're a little bit better than somebody else. There's only one church, and that's the church of Jesus Christ. The winds got so contrary, the boat was all waterlogged, half full of water, the oars were breaking, the little boat was being tossed to and fro, all hope was gone, and Jesus was high on the mountain. Oh, I just love this part. Jesus was high on the mountain, watching out over the sea, and when the wind got so contrary, and the boat was tossing to and fro, Jesus stood up. You know what he said, Brother Larry? It will take a stronger wind than this. It will take a stronger wind than this to take that boat out of my hand. Amen. Amen. The things that are happening in this hour, the things that are posting, the things that they're saying, the things that they are doing, the sin of this age, the wickedness of this age, the ungodliness of this age. I want the devil to know it will take a stronger wind than this. Jesus said, we're going over to the other side. Jesus said, get into the boat, go to the other side. Then, Brother Wes, they were going to the other side. Because Jesus said so. There wasn't a wave big enough. There wasn't a wind strong enough that would stop God's word from coming to pass. Get into the boat and go to the other side. I can see Paul and Silas. I can see Paul and Silas in prison. Brother Nathan, they was in the back part of the prison. They were cold. They were hungry. They were beaten. Had great bruises on their body. No doubt their robes stuck to the wounds in their back. And perhaps it was Silas because they had beat him till he was in a state of unconsciousness. And then they just opened up the door. You think they laid him on a pillow? Oh no. Throwed him into the prison. Shut the door. You know why they were there? They didn't steal nobody's hubcaps. It wasn't breaking and entering. Writing bad checks. They were there for preaching about Jesus. They were talking about Jesus, Brother Pat. And the devil got so mad, he had them thrown in jail. For preaching, Brother Keith. Trying to make people better people. And I can see Silas, perhaps he woke up first. And remember, Paul said, I took 39 stripes 3 times. Because they said 40 would kill a man. So they would sentence a man to 40 stripes, less one. And Paul said, I received 39 stripes 3 times. They about beat me to death. And this time here, perhaps it was Silas that came to himself first. And he felt the pain, the burning in his back. He was sore. He was hungry. I can just see him in my mind raised up in the innermost part of the jail. Perhaps he cried out, Paul! Paul! Paul's name being mentioned, it kind of stirred him. I can see no prophet called him a hook-nosed Jew. I can see him raise up, chains rattling. Push himself up against the wall. He was dirty. He was bloody. He was hungry. He was God's prophet. And I can hear Silas say, what are we going to do, Paul? What are we going to do? Does anybody even know where we're at? How are we going to get out? I thought following Jesus was an easy road. I thought it was a flowery bed of ease. What are we going to do, Paul? We're beaten. We're cold. We're bloody. We're hungry. They don't even know where we're at. They don't even know. I was in Rome here the other day. Saw that little cell where Paul was at. It just broke my heart. The little hole in the ground, that was his bathroom. So what are we going to do? You see old Paul raise himself up. So I tell you right now, Silas, it's going to take a stronger wind than this. The prophet said we've got freedom of speech. Certainly have. But the first thing you know, they'll try to stop all this. They'll try to quit you from praying for the sick. They'll put a band on it where you can't even pray for the sick. And just remember, when persecution rises, the church comes to its very height then. It's always its best. It's always its best at the rise of persecution. What are we going to do? It'll take a stronger wind than this. As Brother Fred Mullins say, I can hear Paul say, give me a G for Jesus. I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. I'm one of them. Are you one of them? I'm one of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. God looking over the banister. Wormwood, come here. Look right down there. You see that? That's Paul. That's Silas. Wormwood said, what are they doing? He said, look at them. They're cold. They're hungry. They're beaten. They're in prison. They're in chains. Wormwood said, what are they doing? God said, they're having church. Amen. Come on, somebody. Help me preach. I said, the devil thinks he's got them. The devil thinks he's stopped my people. It'll take a stronger wind than this. Wormwood said, you want me to go down? I'll cause a great flood. I'll wash them out of that prison. God says, you know, there ain't nothing like family harmony. Paul singing lead because he's a church age messenger. Silas singing tenor. God said, you know, I think I'll go down and sing bass. Oh, hallelujah. And God came down into that jail cell. He began to shake that cell. And the doors began to open up. And the chains began to fall out. Because it will take a stronger wind than this. Jesus said in St. John 10. I'll hurry. My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish. My God, if you've not amen one thing, you ought to be able to amen that right there. Huh? They shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. It will take a stronger wind than this. I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. Happy believes he is today. Happy believes God's greater than all. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. There's not a wind strong enough. There's not a devil strong enough. There's not a situation great enough that's able to shut this bride down. I want the devil to know today, he will never shut this bride down. Oh, that feels so good, Brother Jerry. I think I'll say it again. I want the devil to know he will never shut this bride down. He will never shut us down, Brother West. Amen. Oh, God, that feels good to say that. Well, I don't know. I do. It's written in God's Word. I don't feel like it. He never said, did you feel it? He said, did you believe it? The value of this bride. The value of this bride. Can I just have a few minutes? Let me show you something. The value. Now, if you had something valuable, would you leave it in the front yard? Would you leave it in an alley somewhere? You'd protect it. Your brother's bought your wife a big old 5-carat diamond. You'd protect it.
God, that was quiet.
Sorry, sis, I tried. Man, not one amen. I've preached in this church before. But no, you would protect something that's valuable. Is that not true, friends? You know you would. You let somebody go out there and steal your spinning hubcaps service. You'd be marrying a wet hen after church. Somebody stole my hubcaps. I still owe on them. And yet we let Satan come in and rob us service after service, sitting on a pew, and never raise our hand. He can have my hubcaps. He ain't getting my blessing. Hallelujah! Watch now, just for a minute. The value of this bride. Listen to what the Bible says. 1 Peter 1:18. For as much as you know, you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold. Now, ain't it funny? People spend so much time trying to get gold and silver and platinum and all this stuff. And Peter said, you ain't even redeemed with such as that. Corruptible stuff. Stuff that ain't going to mean nothing in a little while. Huh? From your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. But you were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. As of a lamb without spot or blemish. Do you know they put Jesus before Pilate and Pilate said, I find no fault. He was a perfect lamb. God didn't use a garage sale lamb. God didn't use a Goodwill lamb. God didn't use a handicapped lamb. Bad in one eye, crippled in one leg. No, sir. When he gave us a sacrifice, he gave us the best he could give us. That was the blood of Jesus Christ. I was in New Mexico a few years. You know, I like Indian stuff. I just love Indian stuff. My study's all full of Indian pottery and different things. I just love it. And these brothers, I was down there preaching in New Mexico. They knew I liked it. So they took me. They was curators for this guy's place down there in Santa Fe. He had this big ranch. And all the stuff, it was just unreal. It was decorated like it was in the 1800s. And we went in and had all these Indian pots. And some of them was worth thousands and thousands of dollars. And I said, oh my. He said, pick it up. He don't care. Pick it up. Look at it. He don't care. Pick up a pot, Brother Brad. Brother Brad, pick up a pot that would cost $5,000, $6,000. That pot right there, Brother Darrell, $25,000. My God, if I had $25,000, I'd buy me a nice car. But I looked at that, and I thought, Brother Keith, why, Brother Parker, would this man spend $25,000 for a vessel of clay? And then it hit me, Brother Wes. He bought it. He purchased that because he was able to see the value. He was able to see the value of that vessel of clay. Why did he give us a lamb without spot or blemish? The precious blood of Jesus. Because when he looks at you, he don't see junk. He sees something of value. Consider this, since the blood of God, it is perfect blood. And if the perfect blood has loosened us from the power and bondage and the defilement of sin, then the loosing is perfect and complete. There is now, therefore, no condemnation. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies us. It is God that declares us as righteousness. Amen. Who is he that condemneth us? It is Christ who died for us. There it is. His death gave us the blood. The blood has loosed us. There is now no condemnation. How can there be? There is nothing to be condemned for. Because the blood has loosed us from sin. We are free. We are guiltless. Do not listen to man. Do not even listen to yourself. Listen to God. Listen to the word. We are loosed by the blood. They are sealed in by the Holy Ghost. Ephesians 4:30, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed until the day of your redemption. No man can pluck them out of his hand. Their lives cannot be tampered with. The visible life is burning and shining and giving light. The manifestations of the Holy Ghost. The inner invisible life is hidden in God, fed by the Lord's word, and Satan cannot touch them. Not even death can touch them. For death has lost its sting. The grave has lost its victory. They have the victory through Christ Jesus. Romans 8:35, I'm coming to a close. Romans 8:35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? No. Distress? No. Persecution? No. Famine? No. Nakedness? No. Peril? No. Sword? No. And it is written, for thy sake we're killed all the day long. We're accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors. Through him that loved us. For I am persuaded. How about you? I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principality, nor power, nor things present, nor Facebook, nor YouTube, nor anything that is to come. I am persuaded. I can see Noah on that boat. And that boat rocking out there and it raining like it's never rained before. I see his boy sitting in that ark. Said, Daddy, Daddy, are you sure? Are you sure, Daddy? Listen to me, son. I built this boat according to God's blueprint. And I am persuaded it'll take a stronger wind than this. It'll take more rain than this, son, to sink this boat. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. But Reb said those seven church age messengers, they were safe in his care, for nothing could pluck them out of his hand. Nothing could separate them from the love of God. Sickness, peril, nakedness, famine, sword, life or death. They were truly yielded to him. And he were kept by his own boldness. They were not concerned about the persecution that came their way. Pain and derision was just a part of it. It was just a reason to give God glory. They counted it worthy to suffer for him. They were thankful for his salvation. They burned with the light of his life. They reflected his love, his patience, his meekness, his temperance, his gentleness, his faithfulness. And God backed them up with signs and wonders and miracles. They were accused of being fanatics. They were accused of being holy rollers. They were considered unreasonable. They were denounced by organizations and helped in mockery. But they kept true to the word of God. Because they knew nothing could stop them from fulfilling the word for their hour. They said with their lives, it will take a stronger wind than this. If you get down, if you get weary, if you feel like quitting, let me just tell you something. Look in the back of the book. We win. We're not losers. I'm not the loser. I'm a winner. Cheryl's daddy, Brother Homer, one was killed in the accident. Cheryl's daddy killed in the accident. He told me one time he had a friend worked at Eastman. You know, he worked at Eastman also. This guy was working on a water tank that overlooked the softball field. And he's out there working on the tank and they was playing a softball game. He said the guy was out there watching from the tank. And the team was pow, shoo, over the fence, home run. Next one got up, pow, shoo, home run. Said the outfielder standing out there with his glove on his hat like this. He said he yelled down to the guy in the field with his ball glove on his head. Said, "Hey, buddy, what's the score?" He yelled up and said, 7-0. Said, "You guys losing?" He said, "I don't know. We ain't batted yet." Amen. I want the devil to know this bride ain't defeated. We ain't even batted yet. I said we ain't even batted yet. Somebody help me this morning. We ain't defeated. We ain't even batted yet. The prophet of God said, "What you've seen done these few times in my ministry will be done in its fullness in the bride when that third bull is manifested." I want the devil to know this morning, we're the home queen. We're the home run queen. We see home right ahead of us and we're running right towards it. Isaiah 41 says this, "No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shall condemn." Let them say what they want to. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And the righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Satan gets to howling, friends. Blowing his poison breath. And the winds get to blowing strong. Remember this. Remember this. Eagles were built to take strong winds. You see, friends, when the wind starts blowing strong, we're just getting ready to bat. We're just getting ready to take our flight. Eagles were built for strong wind. The harder the trial, the stronger the wind, the greater we fly. Eagles are special built birds. They take special food. They were built to go into the atmosphere. They have strong wings. An ordinary bird with his feathers cannot fly where eagles fly. They'll beat themselves to death trying to get up there. So let them howl. Let them blow. Let them say. Let them post. Let them do what they want to do. The harder they blow, the higher we fly. nervous anymore. Cranes, they'll just beat the air, bump up and down, trying to ride the waves, staggering over, where an eagle just sets his wings and rides on the wing. Their feathers are strong. They do not move. They don't give. He just maneuvers his body and sails away. When the winds get to blowing, friends, just look at these strong wings. The Old and the New Testament. And realize God gave us this to rise above the winds and the trials of life. Look down through the ages. They tried to burn the Holy Ghost out of them. How can you burn the Holy Ghost out of somebody when the Holy Ghost is fire itself? They tried to boil it out of John. You can't boil it out of them. You can't scare it out of them. You can't run it out of them. It is there to stay until the day of our redemption. It will take a stronger wind than this. Satan ain't got a wind. He ain't got a wind that'll stop this bride. All hell can't stop it. It's ordained of Jesus Christ to be so, and it will be so. For upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Flesh and blood has not revealed this unto thee, but my Father, which is in heaven, has revealed this unto me. And upon a spiritual revelation of who Christ is, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail over them, but they will prevail over them. In closing, Abraham talked about an old mother eagle. He says he took her young ones, flew down into a valley, stretched forth her wings, and they got off. He said, then mother lifted up off that ground. He says she flew straight into the highest rock she could find, and she sat down. Abraham said, I was watching through binoculars, and I'm closing now. I was watching through binoculars. So I looked at those little eagles. You know what they were doing? No. The prophet of God said they were jumping. They were flapping their wings. They was jumping over one another. He said they were having a Pentecostal jubilee. They were just enjoying that green grass that'd been up there in an old sticky nest and about stuck them to death. But they got down there in some green grass and they began to smell it and they began to feel it and they began to react to it. And they were just having a good time. You know why? Because they knew mama was watching over them. Brother Bam said way back over in the north, a storm began to brew. He said, I was watching. Said that eagle sitting on that rock. Said all of a sudden, she raised up that head. She began to cock it. She began to look around. He said, she began to smell that storm. He said, I was watching. Said all at once, she let out a scream. And she come off that rock. She throwed out those wings. You know what she said? It'll take a stronger wind than this. She flew down into that valley. And perhaps, the prophet said, being instructed before they left the nest, each one of them had a predestinated place. She ran out there, throwed out them wings. Luther found his place, hooked on. Wesley found their place, hooked on. Restoration of the gifts, they hooked on. Everybody began to find their predetermined place. And they grabbed a hold of those feathers. The prophet of God said that wind began to blow in there. And said she let out a scream. She come off that ground. Said she pierced that wind, 60 mile an hour wind. She went right into the face of that storm, right up into the cleft of the rock. He said, I cried like a baby. Because he said, I thought one day in the Laodicea age. With the sins heaped up everywhere. People lying. People doing all the things that they're doing. People saying all the things that they're saying. And the winds of strife and persecution begins to blow. One day, he'll step up. And he'll say, it'll take a stronger wind than Laodicea to stop me. The prophet said someday he'll come from the portals of glory. He'll stretch out his wings and we'll find our place. And he'll lift off the earth and take us straight in to glory. Notice what Jesus said. Brother Harry, musicians come. Notice what Jesus said. Notice what he told his disciples. He told them, get into the boat and go to the other side. Now, Brother Keith, I ask you, what wind, what storm, what demon, what devil would stop that boat from going to the other side? And I say to you this morning, you young people, it's bouncing in and out. You get fired up at young people's meetings and then you're colder than goose the rest of the year. Let me tell you this morning, why don't you step into the boat? We're going to the other side. We're going. Sister Sarah, we're going. We are going to the other side. Brother X, we're going. We may have storms, we may have wind, we may have rain, we may even have hell, but we are going over. We are going to the other side. There is not a demon, there is not a devil, there is nothing that'll stop us from going to the other side. Who's going? Who's going with me? Who's going with me? Let's get into the boat. Let's go. Let's go. It's time. We don't need to hide no more. We don't need to back down no more. It's time. We tell the devil we are going over. Listen to me, young people. Listen to me. There's no other way to get over ETSU, Milligan. Nothing will get you over there but this boat. No other organization, no other denomination. This boat will get you over. We are going to the other side. Brother Larry, we're going. We are going. Brother Brett, we're going. Brother West, we're going. Even though we may be unreasonable, we're going. We are going. I have the assurance. I have the witness. I have the seal. We are going to the other side. There ain't no cancer strong enough. There ain't no arthritis great enough. There ain't no sugar diabetes big enough. Come on, somebody. Well, Brother Darrell, I have this affliction, but we got a big God. It's time we tell the devil, shut up. Shut up. I don't want to hear you no more. Just shut up. I'm going over to the other side. Amen. I am going over. I'm taking my wife. I'm taking my husband. I'm taking my kids. I am going over. Just shut up, devil. I don't want to hear it. Just shut up. We are rising up. We are rising up. Don't you see, friends? The winds of persecution. It's just time to set our wings. To fly higher. We are rising up, brother. Sing it for us, brother. Let's worship. Who's going with me? Who's going with me this morning? Who's in the boat today? Why don't you tell the devil, I'm going over. I'm going over. There ain't a wind strong enough. There ain't a wind strong enough. There ain't a wind strong enough. I'm going over. Hallelujah.
As I look out across the land, I see God's mighty hand. The bride of Christ adorned in her wedding gown. Just like in the days of old, they stood in courage bold. They turned that old world upside down. Rising up, rising up. There's a New Testament church rising up.
We're rising up. We're rising up. There's a New Testament church rising up. Well, let's go, friends. Let's go.
We're rising up.
We're rising up.
Rising up.
We're rising up.
We're the New Testament church rising up. She's rising up.
We're rising up.
Rising up.
We're rising up.
We're the New Testament church rising up. Now the Bible plainly tells how the Holy Ghost fell. Signs and wonders were done by the apostles' hands. Demon spirits were cast out. In jail they sang and shout. While surrounded by God's holy angel band.
We are not alone.
But if you think it's all long gone, all the miracles are done. I have some good news to bring to you. In this last days he'll pour of his spirit more and more. Like a mighty eagle, your
Amen.
Strength he'll renew.
Man, believe it now. We're rising up. We're rising up.
We're the New Testament church rising up.
The church rising up.
We're rising up. Rising up. We're the New Testament church rising up. We're rising up. Rising up. We're the New Testament church rising up. We're rising up. Rising up. The New Testament church rising up. Rising up. We're the New Testament church rising up. We're rising up. Rising up. We're the New Testament church rising up. If you think it's all long gone, all the miracles are done. I have some good news to bring to you. In this last days he'll pour of his spirit more and more. Like a mighty eagle, your strength he'll renew. Rising up, rising up. We're the New Testament church rising up. Church rising up. Rising
up. Father, now we assume your God will take us over with this, Lord. The promise of your word is true. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Let the Holy Spirit go to our children, Lord. We're going to activate your guard. Yes.
never promised that the cross would not be heavy and the hill would not be hard to climb. He never offered victories without fighting, but he said help would always come in time.
Just remember when you're standing in the valley of decision, and the adversary says, give in. Just hold on. Our Lord will show up, and He will take you through the fire again. He never promised that the cross would not be heavy. The hill would not be hard to climb.
He never offered victories without fighting,
but He said help would always come in time. Just remember when you're standing in the valley of decision, and the adversary says, just hold on. Our Lord will show up, and He will take you through the fire again. So many times I've questioned certain circumstances and things I could not understand. Many times in trials, weakness blurs my vision, and my frustration gets so out of hand. Well, it's then I am reminded that I've never been forsaken. I've never had to stand one test alone. Then the Spirit. And it's through the fire my weakness is made strong. He never promised that the cross would not be heavy and your hill would not be hard to climb. He's never offered victories without fighting. Just remember when you're standing in the valley of decision, and the adversary says, give in. Just hold on. Our Lord will show up, and He will take you through the fire again.
I know within myself surely perish if I trust the hand of God. He'll seal the flames again, again.
He never promised that the cross would not be heavy and the hill would not be hard to climb. He never offered without fighting, but He said help would always come in time. Just remember when you're standing in the valley of decision, and the adversary says, give in. Just hold on. Our Lord will show up, and He will take you.
If I trust the hand of God, He'll seal the flames again,
cross would not be heavy, and the hill would not be hard to climb. He never offered victories without fighting, but he said help would always come in time. Just remember when you're standing in the valley of decision, adversary says, give in, just hold on. Our Lord will show up, and He will take you through the fire again.
Brother Logan Jones, sure love you already know him. He wants to give his life to the Lord. He wants to take the Lord's name today. He wants to make the devil mad. This is his time. I told him a few minutes ago, he'll never forget this day. The day that he gave his life willingly over to the Lord and took the name of Jesus Christ upon him. He made a profession of faith to me that convinced me that his heart is open to make himself a servant of God, and that he fully intends to take the name of the Lord without taking it in vain. Now, whenever a young man or a young woman enters the armed services, goes into the Army, the Navy, the Marines, the Air Force, the Reserves or something, in a time of war, we always pray for them because we know the peril that they're going to face and the tests that they're going to go through. So right now, if this body will just join in together with me as I pray for this brother before we take him down into the water. Lord Jesus, the whole body comes together this morning to pray for our brother. Lord, we know that you never break your word, that you never lie, that your promise of the Holy Ghost, Lord, is as real today as it was the day that they stood and baptized the 3,000, Lord. Lord, we just ask, Lord, that you guide him and protect him in this world. Lord, it's a dark age, we know that, but the brightness of your light cannot be beat down. It cannot be hidden. Even the tiniest light, Lord, can break apart the biggest darkness. And Father, we just ask you to bless our brother in his walk. Shine the light of your truth, Lord, on his path and help him, Lord, as you guide him by your Spirit. Help him, Lord, to make the right decisions, to come to victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask all these things, Lord. Believe in your promise of the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name. Brother Logan, you'll take your notes there. Based on your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I now baptize you. I baptize you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord.
Jesus, draw me close, closer, Lord, to you. Let the world around me fade away. Jesus, draw. And obey. Jesus strong
Father, we are so grateful we gathered here in your name today. Lord, that you would come and visit us, Lord. Make your presence known, Lord God. We are so happy to know the devil doesn't have a wind strong enough, Lord, to blow us off our foundation, dear God. Oh, Father, may we stand up on these words this week. When the enemy tries to come and remind us of our past, may we remind him of his future. Oh, Lord, may we take this opportunity to make the devil mad by not only telling him who we are, but to make sure he understands who he is, Lord. May we remind him that it's written in the Bible, it's him that goes into hell, not us. According to the word, we win. Father, may we stand upon the principles of your word. Let the winds blow, let them howl, let the devil say what he wants to say. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. I've been redeemed, Lord. I'm a purchased product by the blood of Jesus Christ. And God, you don't make no junk, Lord. You made us for a purpose. You placed us here in this age, in any age you could have placed us in. Yet you placed us here, Lord, in this Laodicea age. Oh, Lord, when the winds of strife and Satan blowing his breath and the world's going into a nervous prostration. Oh, Father, in this great time of distress, as Brother Philip talked this morning, Lord, trouble in the homeland, trouble overseas, tornadoes, earthquakes, all the things that are happening. But Lord, in all the midst of all this, it'll take a stronger wind, Lord. We will not be defeated. We will not be defeated. I heard your prophet say just the other day, God will never, Satan will never shut her up. God will take her up, Lord. We're going up, Father. How we thank you today, Lord. Bless your children, Lord. Bless all those traveling, Brother Donnie, Lord, Brother David Seiler, Lord, different ones all preaching out today, Lord. Many people trying to get a last little vacation in, Lord, before winter sets in. Bless them, Lord. Give them rest, God. Give them safety on the highway. those, Lord, that are sick and afflicted today. May they just take your healing with you, Lord. May they just leave their sickness right in the pew right now. The arthritis, the high sugar diabetes, high blood pressure, low blood, whatever it would be, God. May they just leave it right there in the pew and walk away and take the healing virtue of the blood of Calvary and go out confessing, I'm redeemed. I'm redeemed. I'm healed. I'm saved today. Oh, Father, there's people sitting right here. Brother Nathan Brown back there, Lord. You took those skins, things off of his hands, Lord, in the camp last year. Tell me the other day, it's been a year now and they're still gone. Father, you're the healer of all skin disease. You're the healer, dear God. A little sister Christine over in Romania, Lord, born with a short leg, and the Spirit of God fell upon her there in that meeting. And the brother told me the other day, said, Brother Dar, I was there when God healed her. Her leg just straightened out and she walked out of church. Oh, Father, if you can do that in Romania, you can do that in Tennessee, Lord. You're a God and we just love you and we just thank you for it today. Bless you, children, Lord. We receive our healing. We receive our joy. Father, we're not afraid of the trials. We're not afraid of the tests. We're not afraid of the battle because we know, Lord, we win. Oh, God, just help us swing the sword with everything that's in our heart, Lord. Bless your people now, Lord. Just commit the service, these people into your hands for your glory. In Jesus Christ's name, amen and amen. Amen. God bless you, saints. Let's just pray for Brother Mack. Anyone else want prayer, we'd be glad to pray for you. No mean to cut it short, but just however the Lord will want to lead. You want prayer, we'll be more than glad to pray. As Brother Harry sings, if you need to go, may God richly bless you, be our prayer. Have you enjoyed the service today? Is God good? Amen. May God richly bless you.
This, I thought Joel's still up here. This is his song, Joel, come back up here. See, I think.
I know the master of the wind. I know.
God bless you, saints.
Can calm the storm, make the sun shine.